Let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. It's a little lengthy this morning, but I wanted to give you the full picture of Hannah and her struggles. And so it's in 1 Samuel, the first 18 verses, 1 Samuel 1 through 18. There was a certain man, Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day where Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is, God uses our trials to form our prayers and accomplish his will. God uses our trials to form our prayers and to accomplish his will. Our trials can be of our own making. Here was a family that the husband had taken two wives. Yes, it's a custom. It was accepted in their society. But it was not the family that God had created husband and wife to be. If you remember Jesus' words in the New Testament, he said from the beginning it was supposed to be husband and wife. And that is how God had designed that marriage. Marriage was to reflect that relationship that God has with his people. The husband representing God, the wife representing the people of God, or now we call it the church. And that relationship of husband and wife then is to reflect that glory, to reflect that strength, to reflect that love, to praise God for all that he's done for us and through us by how we live and serve each other as husband and wife. But for some reason, Elkanah had taken Peninnah as a wife, and it just said he had two wives. It does not give the order in which he had taken them. But since Hannah was listed first, it is assumed that Hannah was his first wife, and maybe because of her barrenness, Elkanah took it upon himself to marry a second wife, which she did give birth then to children for him. Now, in that culture, you probably remember from your Sunday school or from previous sermons, it was a big deal for a wife to be barren. It was a large struggle. You know the struggle that Sarai had with Abram, and you know that story there. And so for Hannah to be barren was almost as if God had taken his eyes and his blessing off of her, because he had not blessed her with children. What happened here is that a very similar situation to what had happened in Abraham's camp, where he had taken Hagar, and Hagar had a child by Abraham, and then Hagar started making fun of Sarai at that time, or Sarah, she may have as called. And Hagar persecuted Sarah because Hagar did the nanner, nanner, nanner thing that I have a child and you don't. Well, that's what was going on here with Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah was giving Sarah, or Hannah, just a fit with all of the persecution she was giving to this family. And so because this family, this man, Elkanah, had chosen to go against God's original plan, he had brought in opportunity here for this kind of persecution and this kind of division to happen in his household. Now that brings us to the illustration and to the application in this particular situation, that our troubles and our struggles may be struggles that are not of our own making. The things that are going on in our lives may be because of the persecution of others. It may be because of circumstances and the evil that others, and the sin that others have brought into their lives, and that sin now, because of your relationship or because of the situation perhaps, that sin that others have brought into their lives can now be affecting you and your family. We can think of perhaps persecution at work. We can think of perhaps a boss that has gotten himself or herself into trouble somehow, and that has changed her attitude, and so she just makes your life miserable. You don't want to go to work. You don't know how to address him or her. And so you are put into a situation not of your own making, where you are having to hold up under persecution. You can also think of the evil that is out there and the poor choices that other people make and how those choices can affect your life. They can take away your loved ones. They can take your life away by the poor choices that other people make. And so all of the stuff that happens to us are not always stuff of our own making. So here, Hannah was being persecuted because of situations out of her control. It was all she could do was go through the motions that need to go through in order for she and her husband to have a child. And for whatever reason, God had restricted that. And so she had not produced a child. She was not had not given birth to a child. And so she felt the weight of that in her society. She felt the agony of that in her soul. She was being brought to a place where she was to cry out to God. And that's where my title for this message is going, that God had her right where he wanted her. I want you to give some reflection to this today about the overarching theme that's going on here. The name of this book is Samuel. Okay, low-hanging fruit, folks. All right. Samuel is the name of this book. And so it's the story of the life of Samuel. He was to be a servant of God. Samuel was to be instrumental in bringing the first king to Israel. He was to be a judge of Israel during his lifespan. And so Samuel was to be born. God had a plan for Samuel to be born. And so the overarching theme here is that Samuel was to be born. Samuel's mother was now going through conflict within her life. And so there with the theme of Samuel's birth, I want you also to see that God sometimes brings us to harsh places so that we can begin to pray the prayers that we need to pray in order to come together with the will of God in certain situations. And we'll get to that in just a moment. And so Peninnah here, as I said, was jealous of Hannah because of the relationship that Elkanah had with his wife Hannah. She seemed to be the favorite here. Said Elkanah, her husband, said to her, and he gave her a double portion of the food there. He attended to her. He spoke to her with comfort, with affection. Why is your heart sad? Can't your love for me equal to the giving birth of a son? But that didn't comfort Hannah. She wanted to have a son. She had that desire within her. And so because of Peninnah's jealousy and her persecution of Hannah and all of these things, Hannah lived in a state of depression. She was in a state of sadness here, according to Scripture. And so what did she choose to do with that sadness? We can find ourselves so engrossed, so encompassed with grief, that we can get no reprieve even in our sleep. Sleep is supposed to be that time of renewal, rejuvenation, refreshment. God has designed our bodies so that our bodies recover during that time of sleep. Sleep is a process that God has designed into our bodies to give us rest and refreshment. But when the stress and struggles of life are just so overwhelming within our hearts, when the worries come about, we cannot even find rest and recovery and recuperation even in our sleep. And so I believe that Hannah had reached this place where she could not find rest. She could not even find rest or comfort in the outreach, the consolation that she was receiving from her husband. As intimate as that was, as filled with compassion as that was, nothing that could come forth in her life could take care of her grief. She had reached that depth there. When our afflictions become more than what we can bear, what do we do? Well, we have a choice in that, don't we? As I shared with these young people today, our afflictions can take us away from God, or our afflictions can drive us to God. That choice is ours. A lot of people in our society today, when they are in deep conflict, the way Hannah was here, when they have been taken to a place of despair, the way Hannah is here, when life just gets that place in their life, when they don't know what to do, there's a choice that can be made. A lot of people choose other things other than going and crying out to God for their help. And so God can give them over to those other things to show them how ultimately worthless they are in solving the issue, in solving the problem that you have. What Hannah here was given was a heart for God. I want you to consider this. I want you to consider those times, and I've shared this with you before, and this is just such a great example. I've preached from this passage several times, if you remember. Some of you may have marked it in your books. But it's just a powerful story here about how God uses the depth of someone's disparity to bring out of them the prayer that God needs them to pray so that God's will can be accomplished. Now, why does the Creator of the universe, why does the all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God need us to pray so that His will can be accomplished? I wish I had an answer for you. But that is how He chooses to work through us to accomplish His will. If you go over to Ezekiel 36:37, He will say, "This I will let my people do, to ask me to have this blessing." Jesus said, "I will go to the Father and I will pray for the Comforter." It was already God's design that the Comforter was to come and to be within the life of God's people. As Jesus was taken up from the earth, the Spirit of God was to come to dwell, to guide, to bring comfort to us, and it was already God's design. And so what did Jesus say? "I will pray the Father that the Comforter Comforter will come. And so there are hints throughout Scripture, if we are observant and perceptive of them, that lets us know that it is God's will and God's design that we join together with Him in our prayer life, so that the blessings that He has in store for us and the will that He wants to incorporate into the earth can be released. And so I want you to give thought and reflection here to the life of Hannah. It was God's design that a baby named Samuel, a man named Samuel, was to walk upon the earth. He was going to work through Samuel and use Samuel in a mighty way to guide and guard the nation of God's people. And Samuel was to faithfully to fulfill that. And so by God's design, Samuel was to come into the earth. By God's design, Christ was to come to the earth. And so God here worked through the life of Hannah. And in her despair, she offered up this prayer that is recorded here in 1 Samuel. She promised God that, "My son, if you give him to me, I will do this and this. I promise you this and that." And if you continue reading in this chapter, when she was blessed with a baby, she followed through on her promises to God. So as far as we know, as far as what's recorded for us in Scripture, Hannah did not return that mocking tone to Peninnah. But she took her grief and her heart's desires to the Lord. She made that choice that she was not going to strike back in anger. She was not going to strike back and try to defend herself, try to rescue herself, try to make herself feel better by saying, "I really got you on that one." You ever had something happen to you in a grocery store? Maybe somebody was rude to you. You know, you're walking out in your car and this little thought comes through your mind, "Man, I should have told them that. Or I should have did this, that, or the other thing." And that little thought comes across your mind, "I could have got them good." And so Hannah didn't let that happen to her. She was not that type of an individual. She cried out to God. She asked God. She gave God her grief. She gave God her heart's desire. And she gave God the deepest, most precious desire that she had. And that was to be a mother. And she wanted to present this child to God in thanksgiving for the blessing God would bestow upon us. She didn't strike out against God in her anger. And a lot of times, like I shared with these young people here, our despair, the stuff of life, when it comes upon us, it can make us strike out to God in anger. There's a guy on the TV this morning, very, very much in tune with the thought of and heart of this passage. And he said something very similar to that, where we can, he was using the story of Joseph as an example in his sermon this morning. And he was saying that, you know, when bad things happen to us, we can blame God, or we can And go in anger to God, be angry for God. Or he said, what happens, and you've heard me say this sometimes too, he said, we can blame it on Satan. And so Satan gets credit for the good things that God's trying to do in your life through the trials and struggles that he allows to come there. And so we say, well, it's just a bad thing from Satan, because in our minds, our blessings are what I like to call those Facebook-type blessings. We're like, "Oh, God is good. You know, my husband got a promotion. My child's the number one child in the class of the graduating class of so-and-so. Or my daughter just got a promotion or landed a big job. Or we've just had triplets in our family. God is good." And so we get that Facebook kind of mentality where the goodness of God is judged by our standards, by how happy we are, by the good things that come into our life. We judge God's goodness strictly based on how we receive that good. And so what Hannah here called out to God for was for a child. She was being oppressed because she was barren. In her mind, she was hurt deeply. by not being able to provide a child for her husband. And she called out to God, and she made a promise to God that she was faithful to fulfill. So she didn't get angry. She came to the one that she knew, and only that one could satisfy this desire in her life. She didn't do like Abraham and Sarah and went out and try to find some other way to provide a child. She continued to call out to God because she knew that He was her anchor, that He was the one, that He was the only one that could fulfill within her life her deepest, most precious desire. She wanted what God alone could give her. And she continued crying out to God for that answer. Sometimes our callings are found in the mundane stuff of life. Hannah's desire was to be a mother, not to lead Israel, not to be someone of note, not to be someone that was famous. I just want to be a mom. I just want to have this child. I just want to fulfill my place here and where You have put me, God. And she ends up having her name recorded in all eternity in God's Word for her faithfulness and how she handled the situation that life had given to her. And I want you to look how God blessed her. God did hear that call because it was God's will for this prayer to be prayed. And like I said, I want you to really reflect on that this morning. That sometimes God has to push us into places where we will pray the prayer that He wants us to pray, so that He can release the blessings that He has in store for us. And sometimes the only way we can be pushed to pray that type of prayer is if life just keeps backing us into that corner until we are put in that situation where those words come out of our mouths. Maybe it's a place of frustration with a problem in your life or a person in your life, and you've been trying to lay out your mind, you lay out the script in your mind about how this problem will be taken away. And we pray that this person will be changed, A, B, C, D, E. And when that person doesn't change A, B, C, D, E, or that we don't change A, B, C, D, E, and we reach that point where we say, God, just take it, it's Yours, Thy will be done. God has you and me right where He wants you in that particular place and time. Well, we are brought to a point where we have in our heart, God, Thy will be done. We say that prayer every Sunday morning, right? The prayer is a pattern for how our hearts are to reach out to God. That prayer is a pattern for how we should live our lives. And sometimes God has to use our persecution, our struggles, our trials to put us into that place so that our heart's desire then comes in alignment with God's will. And that aligning with God's will means when our hearts can cry out to Him in a way that we pray with faith and trust and Christian hope, God, Thy will be done. God, Thy will be done. Because I don't know what else to say. So here was Hannah. She had been put into that place. And she didn't let her circumstances drive her away from God. She didn't let her circumstances drive her to alternative methods to cope with where life had put her. She let her circumstances drive her more and more to God. And God honored that, and he blessed that. And he used Hannah's prayer to fulfill the desire of his heart to bring a child into this world that God was going to use mightily to bless his people. So double, I don't know if you could call that a double entendre, but there's a double meaning here. A double purpose, I guess I should say. Hannah's witness to the world and her faithfulness and her continued crying out to God. And God's using Hannah's prayer to fulfill his will for his people. And it lets us all know that when we put our lives in the hands of the living God, he is fully capable and able of using all of these circumstances to bring glory to him and good to us. Let me pray for you. Father, I come before you this day for all of us this morning who are struggling with the stuff of life. And I pray that we'll all have that strength of faith that we need to continue holding on to you, to continue coming to you, to continue putting our whole faith and trust and hope in the power that you have, the love that you have for your people. Father, may this illustration from the life of Hannah speak new hope into our lives, that as dark as the world can become for us sometimes, that our one true hope is in you and only in what you alone can provide. Father, you are our hope. Fill that hope within our lives this day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.